Good to see everyone this morning. Last week we got, Dave's not here, he's supposed to teach, but he's in the hospital, none of you know, or some of you might know. Haven't heard any really updates much, but we'll remember him, Rosie, in your prayers. Galatians chapter 3, we just got started there last week, and we'll start there, and we had reviews of 1 and 2, so we'll get started in chapter 3. Morning, Daryl. Let's go to God in prayer, please. Almighty Father, we thank you for allowing us to be here this morning, having that desire to be here, and help others have that desire to put you first, God, and love you. Help us, God, to learn from Galatians about trying to hold on to old law, and help us always know your old law by studying it for our learning, but help us to go by the new law, the perfect law of liberty. God, we pray that you'll forgive us our sins and be with Dave Hall and Rosie and help him, his heart condition and breathing, get stronger if it be your will. And others are suffering illnesses, so many. Be with them, dear God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 3, Galatians. We had reviews here last several weeks, so we'll get, I might go over verse 20 and 21 there in chapter 2 before we get into 3, however far we get. We ended up there last week and starting verse 1 of chapter 3. Verse 20, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What's Paul saying there? We went over this last week, but it's just a little review before we get going here. Verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Was Paul we know Paul was crucified, or he's beheaded is what it was, Paul was. Peter was the one that was crucified upside down, I think. Paul was beheaded, but it doesn't mean he was crucified with Christ because he wasn't there at that time, was he? Okay? What's it mean, crucified?
He gave up his way of living for Christ. Yeah. He put to death the things that he was comfortable with, the things that he thought was good and right that weren't. The things that were good and right that were right, he kept doing, but the things that he thought were good and right that weren't, such as persecuting the Christians, he got rid of that. He got rid of the Old Testament law out of his life, of it being the law that was the center of his life. And he realizes Christ was what was supposed to be the center.
Okay. Okay, Paul thought he was doing right, didn't he? When he had church members of church killed and everything, and he says he's crucified, he was buried in water and baptism, wasn't he? We know that in Acts chapter 9. Just like us, Romans 6 tells us when we're crucified, we are buried in water and come up a new person, put the old death to the old man. But he says there, nevertheless, I live. Of course, we know he lived, but Christ lived in him. And that should be our way, too. Christ should be living in us, shouldn't he? And if we're following him and walking in the light, being faithful, he lives in us, which I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith, there it is, faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me on the cross. Then he said, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Paul did not hinder and in any way the gospel or the grace of God, did he, after he became a Christian. He started preaching and doing the right things for the Lord. He loved the Lord. And he said there, if righteousness come by the law, the old law, he said, Christ is dead in vain. And we know that's not the case. Christ is alive and with us right now, in spiritually speaking. Okay, let's go to chapter 3. If you have any comments, please speak up. Someone want to read the first two verses, please, or three verses? Okay, thank you. Now he's, again, getting on the Galatians for wanting to go back to the old law. He says they're foolish. They're foolish to go back. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? He's just like saying those who are leading you away from the truth or going back to the old law, trying to persuade you to leave. We have to watch that today, don't we? We have to watch and be on guard that we're taught what's right and are studying ourselves that we are not led to go back or out of the way of the gospel, the truth, the New Testament. So much false teaching is going on today that you should not obey the truth, the Word of God, isn't it? The truth's the Word. Before whose eyes, verse 1, Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Some of these people said Paul said that eventually set forth, crucified among you. Some of them must have saw Christ at that time being crucified. And verse 2 says there, Tyler read, this only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of law or by the hearing of faith? When they were baptized into Christ, they were promised the Holy Spirit. Did they receive that by the old law? No. After Christ died, the new law came in, didn't they? That's when we're baptized, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. Then he says in verse 3, are you so foolish? Are you so foolish? He really getting on. That's foolish to believe these things.
Twice he's used that in three verses, that word foolish. Chastising them is the way they're thinking. Is your thinking so poor? And he's done that twice there in verse 1 and verse 3.
That brings to mind, the speaker comes in here and gets up and says, oh, you foolish New Baptist congregation. What's the look going to be on our faces? How are we going to take that? That's good too. What happens right there? You shut down your ears? Or are you going to listen and see what they have to say?
Okay. You know, Paul says, I believe it's Corinthians, the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that won't believe. And then Psalms 53, I believe it is, verse 1 tells us that a man who says there's no God is a fool. A fool. And then you have people saying, oh, it's foolish to believe in God and the creation and all that. Well, the book of Psalms tells us they're the fool who don't believe in God. Foolish. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, become Christians, and now made perfect by the flesh? No. You're made perfect through the blood of Christ, not perfect. We don't live perfect lives, but we strive to become complete and try to do better. Verse 4, have you suffered so many things in vain, yet it be in vain? Have you suffered so many things in vain? We know that the Gentiles were persecuted by the Judaizers who wished them to be satisfied with the law of Moses. They were persecuted. And they wanted them to be satisfied with the law of Moses going back. They could have avoided these persecutions, but they're giving in. Some of them's giving in to that. And we saw back there in chapter 2, I believe, or 1, there where Barnabas was even kind of going along with that. They persuaded him for a while, if you look back there in one of them verses.
It's so easy to tell somebody to try when they've got pressure on them, go ahead, it'll be okay. Nobody will know. You can do it and it won't be that bad. Or people might even say, you go ahead and do it and then ask God and he'll forgive you after you do it.
Yeah.
As if it's okay. You know, as God said, you know, I mean, as if God would say, you know, go ahead, I'll let it slide this time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've heard people, and I wonder how many of us have done it. We're late going somewhere. So, as we would say, we bend the speed limit a little bit. You know, you drive a little extra fast, you happen to pass a cop, and you say, "Dear God, thank you for not letting me get a ticket." And he's not sitting up or saying, "Oh, that's okay."
Yeah.
Yeah, I closed my eyes to this one. That's not God. You just were fortunate
right.
that it didn't happen.
Right. Then you got people breaks law all the time and they don't get caught, you know.
Yeah, sure.
I mean.
But they don't care.
No.
Those people don't care.
Yeah.
These were Christians who were supposed to care and weren't. And we're just, you know, like I thought about, they're saying, okay, if we do wrong, okay, that's okay. God's not going to get mad at us. He's not going to strike us dead with lightning.
I think we got to take God serious for what he wants us to do. We can't just, he'll forgive me, grace will save me. It does, but we can't go on just doing anything we want to do and keep it up and then expect God to forgive us. John said in 1 John to walk in the light, as he is in the light, and the blood of Christ will forgive us. That's when we're doing his will, being faithful, attending services, doing good works, loving him, praying, that's putting God in, walking in the light. And I don't think we have to walk around on ice like I'm saved 1 minute and am I not saved the next because I've done. God knows our heart, but we know ourselves if we're walking in the light and we're trying to live for him. Very important. Might be getting off our lesson a little bit there, but verse 5. Daryl, would you read 5 and 6, please?
Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness.
That verse 5 is about the same as verse 2, I believe. Let's look at verse 2. This only would I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of law. Did they receive the Holy Spirit by the works of the law? No. Or by hearing of faith. And then he goes 5 there, as Daryl read. He therefore that ministers to you in the Spirit, you the Spirit, and works miracles among you, does he it by the works of law or by the hearing of faith? We know they did works back then, the apostles, and they did it by faith. They didn't do it just by works.
Well, they were trying to bring back in some of the laws of the Old Testament, like you probably studied there in chapter 2, where Paul chastised Peter about not doing what he was supposed to and trying to give in to the segregation between the Jews and the Gentiles. And they were trying to pull that back in there. Paul says, "No, was it done by the works of the law?" You know, the law is dead. The old law is dead.
Right.
The new law that's alive.
Daryl read verse 6. Let's go over that. Even as Abraham, there's old Abraham. He's the, what you might call, father of the faithful there. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. One commentary says here, Zare, in all the systems of religious conduct that God has offered to man, individual faith was necessary for divine acceptance. Each one of us has to have true faith in our Lord. Without that, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, I believe it is. We have to have individual faith is necessary. Even the system as a whole was not termed one of faith, as a Christian or Gentile system is. Hence we are told that Abraham, he was in the patriarchal age, was regarded righteous because of his what? Faith. What could you say something about Abraham? How do we know he was so strong in his faith, Daryl?
Well, we might start off by looking at the fact that he, when God called him, he left where he was there, out of the earth, or from the area of the earth county. As he and his father had left that area earlier, they'd gone over and settled, and then God called him, and he says, "I'm going to take you to some place that you don't know. I'm going to lead you down there, and I want you to go." Now, somebody was telling me that I'm supposed to drive over there to, it's Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, where they had that groundhog out this morning. And they said, "I need you to drive over there." The first thing I'd say, "Give me directions." "Oh, no, you just got to go." "You just got to go." "No, my car doesn't know how to get over there." So, this is kind of like Abraham. "Abraham, I want you to follow me and go down here and do what I want." Now, he wasn't always faithful, but he always came back to God.
Right.
And he was always repentant of the things that he had done that was wrong.
Same thing we got to do when we sin. Repent and mean it. And not just keep, "Well, God will forgive me, I'll do that." That's not what God's. He don't like that kind of believing. But another thing, if you remember, took Isaac up on the mountain, going to slay him. How many of us could do that to our child? But he believed God was going to find a way, and he did, didn't he?
And imagine the question that is, the statement that he made before he went up. He told the servants, "You stay here, and we will go up, and we will return," meaning him and his son. And he's going up. His son says, "Dad, we've got fire, and we've got wood. Where's the lamb? Where's the offering?" And we have to say that God will provide, and knowing at that time that the provision was Isaac, it takes a lot of faith.
Right.
Believe that God's going to bail you out.
Yep. And then when your son asks you, "Dad, where's the sacrifice?" That would kind of...
that choke you up.
Yeah.
I saw a little skit last night, and we use that same thing that Jim just mentioned in our life. This lady was supposedly pulled over by the police, and the first thing she says, "Don't you know who my father is?" So we've continued to use that for ourselves right on through history. "I mean, don't you know who I am?"
Oh. Yeah.
Years ago, there was a fella, I won't mention any names, but he owned a very important business over in the Zanesville area. And I was working for a lawnmower shop, and they had made me the foreman. And a fella came in to get his riding tractor, and the owner and his father were both gone. So I was the person in charge. I said, "Okay." He said, "Put it on my bill." "Sorry, sir, I don't know who you are." The guy got rather upset, later came back and told him, "Boss, that's what I would have wanted my employee to do." But the thing was, I didn't know who he was. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. And, as Jim said, they say, "Well, we're children of Abraham. That should make a difference. That should be a get out of jail free card."
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yep. we have to be careful to not do that and respect people.
That's why I think that one chapter ends the emotion of wrath, anger.
Yeah.
It doesn't bring out a Christian what it should. That's why you have to be careful when you get angry.
Right. I don't mean that in a way. We can have respect to people. We need to have respect for our parents when they're alive, or respect them. But to think highly of someone more than another one, whether they're poor, rich, or whatever, that should not be, as James said. Let's go to another verse here. Verse 6 there said, even as God believed, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, credited to him, and counted. Let's look at verse 7, please. Know ye therefore that... You want to read that, Jim? I got a torn place in that verse. Don't know the word there. Okay. What's he saying there? Knowing are the sons of, children of Abraham. Okay.
You see, he takes that and turns everything around for what they're believing. Therefore, know not only that those are of faith are the sons of Abraham. What he doesn't say, he doesn't say that those are who are of Jewish birth are sons of Abraham.
Right.
Paul didn't give that nationality, accounting. The fact that you are born a Jew makes you a son of Abraham. Paul says, no, that's not right. What makes you a son of Abraham is your faith.
Yeah. We have many Old Testament people had the faith, didn't they?
Look, so Noah. What does that say about us if we have faith? Not only are we sons of God, but we also can call ourselves sons of Abraham.
Yeah. Verse 8, and the Scripture, there it is, Scripture foreseeing, this is talking about the old law, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. God let Abraham know what the future is going to be about faith in our Lord Jesus. I believe that's what he's saying here. Foreseeing, he says, that he saw ahead, he was able to see and used Abraham, man of faith, for us today to have that kind of faith like Abraham had. In thee shall all nations be blessed. In thee all nations shall be blessed.
Does the King James use the word gospel to Abraham?
Verse
8 there.
And the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preaching before the gospel unto Abraham.
Preaching the gospel to Abraham. The gospel of what? Salvation.
Yeah.
Even though it didn't apply to Abraham, He through what he says there, in you all nations, that's the gospel right there.
Yeah. He could do anything, and like Daryl said, he wasn't under the new law, but he saw it coming.
Here's two references to that. John 8:39, Abraham is our father, and he said to them, Christ, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. We're talking about the works of obedience. Romans 2:28-29, again, Paul, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, again, talking about the faith. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not for men, but for God. They're talking about the difference, what they should have been concerned with was their heart, and they were wanting these fleshly things again.
Okay. Yeah, I think God, of course, let Abraham know ahead of time some of these details, of course, not all, but the fundamental truth that Jesus would bless all nations and not the Jews only. was foretold to him in the words, "In thee shall all nations be blessed." We have that in verse 8. One more verse, then we'll get stopped there. Verse 9. "And then they which be of faith are what? Blessed with faithful Abraham." Our faith needs to be like strong, like Abraham's was.
And Abraham's faith was shown in his obedience. And the same thing is true with us. If we are faithful, if we have faith in God and our faith in Him, we will be obedient to Him, not question. Doesn't mean we won't make mistakes, won't mean we won't do things that are wrong, but we'll realize what we've done wrong and ask for God's forgiveness. Also doesn't mean that we just go around doing wrong because we want to.
Right.
I'll do it, then God will forgive me. Yeah. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah. Grace is a wonderful thing, but we have to be obedient, don't we?
Yeah.
Walk in the light. Blessed with him means they will receive the blessing of God as being true servants. There it is, true servants.
And right. The Old Testament law right. hadn't been given at that time. Wasn't given until long after he was dead. And, of course, then the Old Testament law, the Ten Commandment law was only given to the Jews. The Gentiles still were to live under the patriarchal law that Abraham lived under until the time of Christ, and then all were brought together.
Another thing we need to remember is of all the Old Testament characters that was right with God, His blood goes back and cleanses them too. The blood of Christ goes back. Those who are obedient will have that heavenly home. Thank you. We'll start in round 9, have a little review, and go in verse 10 next week, or if Dave's back.